Well, last week I was reading someone's blog, their online diary on the internet. Why anybody wants to put their personal diary entries on the internet for everyone to read, I don't know, but there you go. And this person was a teacher. And their blog entry was headed as follows. It said, "Just a hamster on the treadmill of life." And he wrote this. He said, "My every moment is planned out in advance at school. The bells control not only the students' lives, but my own. I race to finish the next task, and there is yet another task after that one. I don't even have time to go to the toilet during the school day. I'm locked into the school pattern, and like any good robot, I must carry on." Bit of a depressing diary entry, isn't it? But there we go. But I should think that most of us here, we can begin to relate to some of the things that man wrote, even if not quite so vividly. Feeling like we're a robot, feeling like we're a hamster on the treadmill and unable to alter our circumstances. Well, in this series of talks throughout September, we're going to be thinking about getting God's perspective on various aspects of our lives that can frustrate us. And today, as I've said, we're going to think about getting God's perspective on the use of our time. Because let's face it, so often, I don't know about you, but so often it feels like the treadmill of our lives, it just seems to be getting faster and faster and faster, doesn't it? It feels like we're running up an ever steeper incline. It is the problem of time. I read in the paper on Monday that half of all adults in this country say they are constantly tired. 50% of us, constantly tired. It's the problem of time. But none of us, we're not quite sure what the source of this problem is. Now, rodents seem to have been featuring quite heavily in my life the last couple of weeks, as well as this little rodent here on our postcard. I also seem to have been finding rodents featuring in my home life as well this last week. As Susanna, that's my wife and I, as we've been sleeping in bed each night, or trying to sleep, I should say, we've been sure that we've been hearing mice scurrying around in our bedroom or in the walls of our bedroom. So Susanna, last weekend, she went out and she bought this industrial mouse trap to try and catch the blighters. And we put it in the corner of the bedroom where we thought the mice were coming from. And we waited. And we waited. But for the next few nights, there were still lots of scurrying, but unfortunately no dead mice. And then on Tuesday, I discovered why. Because I was sitting on Tuesday in the kitchen having my breakfast when suddenly a mouse scurried straight across the kitchen floor. You see, the problem was that I had misidentified the source of the problem. I thought that the mice were coming from the bedroom, but no, they weren't. The mice were actually coming from the kitchen. In fact, to be more specific, a little hole behind the cooker in the kitchen. To deal with a problem, we need to correctly identify the source of the problem. And just as is the case with the mice in my flat, it is also the case with the problem of managing our time. So when we feel that we're ridiculously and wrongly busy, or when we feel we're constantly exhausted, when we feel that the only free time we have, we find ourselves just sort of slouched in front of the TV at home, when we find that the urgent, it keeps on being the enemy of the important, well then we need to correctly identify the source of our problem. So take this woman here, if you can see her up there. Now, she has certainly got a problem managing her time, hasn't she? What would you say is the source of her problem? Is it the filing cabinet there on the right, on the left even? Is it the filing cabinet? Is it that the problem is she's totally disorganized? That she needs to go on an organization training workshop, that is the source of her problem? Is it that with so many papers everywhere, really the job is just too much for her? The job is too much for her. The job is the source of the problem and she should quit her job. Is it that she needs to have more paper in the dustbin? But actually the problem for her, the source of the problem, is she's very bad at saying no to people. People keep on coming to her and asking her to do more things at work, more and more and more, and she's very bad at saying no. That's the source of the problem. Is it that all those books are on the bookshelf, that they remain unread, and actually she needs to take some time out? And she needs to learn some better business techniques to sort out her life. Is that the source of the problem? Is it that she's got to get a better work-life balance? She really shouldn't be there at work at 9:30 p.m. She really shouldn't. That is the source of her problem, her work-life balance. Now, all of those things, they may be true. Some of those remedies, they may be helpful for her to do. But I don't actually think that any of them are addressing the real source of her problem and our problem with time. Because the source of the problem is actually in here. In our hearts. The heart of human busyness is the busyness of the human heart. Now, I'm not saying that if we get our hearts right, that we'll never be busy or exhausted or stressed. In fact, I think that the Christian particularly is often very busy, and rightly so. I mean, Jesus, he was very busy. The Apostle Paul, he was nearly always busy, wasn't he? Moses, he didn't sort of lounge around by the poolside of an Egyptian leisure resort, did he? I'm not saying we won't be busy. But I am saying that when we measure our lives, not in terms of tasks done and tasks left undone, but when we measure our lives instead by time well spent or time not well spent, well then the root cause, the source of us spending our time unwisely, it is because of the problems that are going on in here, in our hearts. And I think that we can break down that into three key problems of the human heart. Here's the first problem. Problem number one is our identity problem. Our identity problem. Too often, our assessment of our identity, of who we are, it's wrapped up in what we do. So we think that we are self-made men and women. And so, of course, the management of our time, it revolves around improving our identity. Working hard to better ourselves, to be successful. I remember when I was a management consultant. And I remember being thrilled when I was promoted to the next level, from consultant, and I was promoted to manager. It was a real milestone. That doesn't sound very exciting now, does it? It sounds pretty dull. But back then, it was wonderful. I could tell people, now I am a manager. I'm very important. What a boost to my identity. And that was the view of most people in the company. And so we all worked as hard as we possibly could to get a more and more grand identity. This is the error. Putting me at number one in our hearts. But look at our verse for today. Have a look at it. Ephesians 2 verse 10. And look at how it starts. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." God's workmanship. His work of art. Literally, his masterpieces. That is who we are, every single one of us here in this room. That is who we are. We are masterpieces which have been created, sculpted by God. That is our true identity. But when we think that our identity is all about me, 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 my achievements, my successes, not God's, well then the use of our time, it becomes a disaster. We get too busy. We get too stressed. We focus on completely the wrong things, working to improve our identity, thinking that we are our workmanship, not God's workmanship. Problem number two is our value problem. Our value problem. Too often, I don't know about you, but we get our value, our sense of self-worth, from the comments on our annual appraisal, or from the size of our salary, or from what people say about us. So this is the error of putting not ourselves, but the error of putting others at pole position in our hearts. I know for me, myself, currently, I too often, at the moment, am too busy, and I manage my time poorly, because too often I get my value from wanting people to think that I'm a relatively young, but relatively successful pastor and Bible teacher. And so I try and do loads and loads and loads. I become more interested in what people think of me, what people like you think of me, than what God thinks of me. And therefore I spend too much time concentrating on the things that other people can see, like the talks I do, and not enough time on the things that people can't see, like praying for people. And it may be similar for you too. Perhaps you end up never saying no to colleagues, never saying no to your boss, never saying no to your friends, never saying no to your neighbours, and as a result you just get busier and busier and busier and busier just trying to please everybody. Well, look at how our verse helps us with this value problem. Look at how it continues. It says, "For we are God's workmanship," and then it says, "We are created in Christ Jesus." Created in Christ Jesus. It's telling us where we could get our feeling of value and self-worth from. Not from people saying nice things about us. Those nice things, they can come and go. Not from the size of our salary. That can come and go. But rather, our value comes not from our pay package, but from God's pay package. We are so precious to God that he paid for us with the death of his son. We are created in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you're here today, and actually you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. Well, if that's you, I wonder if you realise that this is the very heart of the Christian message. That God thinks that you are so special that he was prepared to send his son to die and pay the punishment for you and I and all of us. The punishment that we deserve to pay for our wrongdoing. I'd expect at the moment, if you're not yet a Christian, that you get your feeling, a value of self-worth, primarily from what other people say about you. Because after all, if we cut God out of the equation, that is the only way we can know we're valued, from what people say about us. But the Christian knows one constant. While other people's views on us may change, God's view remains constant. And knowing that constant, how loved we are by God, well, that will help us to manage our time better. Because we start being God pleasers rather than people pleasers. We start getting our priorities right. Others no longer number one in our hearts. Now, please don't get me wrong in what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that others aren't important. Of course, other people are very important. Jesus himself, didn't he? He said, love your neighbour as you love yourself. Others are very important. But it is not others, but God who is to be number one in our hearts. And then the third and final problem, problem number three, is our purpose problem. Our purpose problem. Because too often, I don't know about you again, but if we're honest and we think, what is our purpose in life? What does it look like to other people? What's our purpose in life? Too often, really, our purpose looks like it's to get a nice house, have a nice holiday, have a nice car, have a nice life, and maybe Jesus sort of gets tagged onto the side, if at all. Possessions become number one in our hearts. And that drives the use of our time in very unwise directions. Just look at how our verse finishes, Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and then what's our purpose? Here it is. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our purpose in life is to do good works for God. Imagine, if you will, some of the programs that you get on television, and imagine if they were run by truly Christian companies. Imagine a program like Changing Rooms. It would just be, I don't know how long it is, it's half an hour or an hour, I guess, but imagine Changing Rooms, if it were run by a Christian company, it would just be a 5-minute program. And it wouldn't be called Changing Rooms, it'd be called something like Perfectly Adequate Rooms. And each week what you do is you get a builder and he'd take you on a tour of some sort of bog standard house and he'd say something like this. He'd say, as you can see, the Wynn family home, it's got plenty of potential. There's lots they could do with this house. I mean, they could build an extension. They could do a loft conversion. They could reorder and restructure and put the kitchen in different places. Loads and loads of possibilities. But actually, you know, the house, it does the job pretty well as it is. I mean, it's structurally sound. The roof doesn't have any leaks. The heating works. It does have mice, but we'll forget about that. So we're just going to encourage the Wynns just to be content with what they've got and leave it as it is. End of program. Cut to closing credits and cheesy Christian music. We don't necessarily need to let our time be ruled by acquiring beautiful clothes, beautiful holidays, beautiful gadgets, beautiful houses. Possessions don't need to be number one in our hearts. And life becomes a whole lot more restful when they're not. Again, please don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. If our purpose is, as this verse says, if our purpose is to do good works for God, I'm not saying we'll never be busy. Sometimes doing good works for God, we will be very busy. Providing food for our family, that's a good work for God. Being an integral part of the team that we work with, earning the right to share our lives and our Lord with them, that is a good work for God. Working to keep the business afloat and people's jobs in existence, that's a good work for God. Helping on a Christian holiday for teenagers, that's a good work for God. Looking after your elderly mother, that's a good work for God. All of those, they are good works for God. And they may cause us to work very long hours, be very busy, be very tired. But we will be managing our time well rather than badly, because our purpose won't be an egocentric desire for more. And you know, when we begin to get our hearts right, When it is not ourselves, not others, not possessions, which are number one in our hearts, but when it is God who is number one in our hearts, well, then we will start to manage our time better. We'll make wise choices. We'll have godly priorities because God is at number one in our hearts. I tell you, preparing this talk for me has made me realize how often, how wrong my heart is. So often for me, all of those three things, me, others, possessions, all of them, so often they are above God in my heart. Tim Chester has written this brilliant little book. It's called The Busy Christian's Guide to Busyness. Well, I say it's a brilliant book. It's actually rather ironically, I've been too busy to read it all, so I can't totally tell you that. But I have skim read it, and it does look very, very good indeed. And this is how he finishes the book. This is how he concludes it. He says this. He says, it's important to realize that neither doing more nor doing less is really the answer. We sometimes think if we worked a little harder, then we could get on top of the problem. Or we think that cutting back what we do will make the problem go away. But neither doing more nor doing less will resolve the pressures created when we don't trust God. The answer is neither doing more nor doing less. The answer is faith in God. And that is exactly the same point as we've been seeing this lunchtime. It is only when we know that as Christians that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is only then that we will begin to use our time rightly. It won't mean we're never busy, but it will mean we're able to find rest in our busyness, joy in our work, and peace on the treadmill of life. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would forgive us where our hearts don't have you at number one. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help each one of us to put you above ourselves, others, and possessions. We pray, Lord God, that that would enable us to make wise choices, to make godly priorities in how we use our time. Lord, this lunchtime we do pray particularly for any here who are really struggling at the moment with managing their time. We pray that you would help them as they put their trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.